Good day, dear faithful listeners. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. I am here with you at the show. You always make that noise, Al.
No, it's a new noise. It's my jam. You like it? Don't steal it.
It's stolen. It's over. You're done.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing well, my good friend. It is, you know, we've got a good show this week. We might as well introduce our guests, shouldn't we? I figure we're here.
Bring them in early.
Know they're here, and then we can ignore them for our self-indulgent banter segment, and then we'll press right on.
It's so forced today.
It will not be forced today, because with us, my friends, is none other than the Mormon Bachelor himself. You know him. You love him. You wish you could have seen Phantom of the Opera with him, Rick Buck.
Howdy.
Hello, Rick.
How's it going, Jeff? I'm here. I'm ready. I'm excited to be on This Week in Mormons.
Rick gets double props, though, because he's been a fan for a while. He's contributed a number of stories, even.
It's true. We actually have done a number of things that you've sent to us.
Rick gets like a twin bump and a slap on the rear.
Well, I'm a big fan. What can I say? I'm a big fan.
You can say that you're a big fan.
I can't. Actually, your show last week was very inspirational.
Why is that? Oh, before we get there, we do have another person with us, by the way, not just Rick.
Yeah, don't forget about me.
And Tara Reed is on the phone with us, friends.
All the way from Las Vegas.
We are here with the lovely, the enchanting, albeit diminutive, Aaron Elton, producer of MoBatch.
Well, thank you. It's true.
But we love her anyway. Aaron, it's nice to have you here with us. Thanks for calling in. We know it's kind of difficult.
Yes. I am honored to be back on This Week in Mormons
for the second time.
Thank you for having me. You want.
Not Aubrey, though, because she's with that Matt chump now. So I'm sorry. But you're welcome here anytime you want.
As long as I'm single. Awesome.
Yep. You can bring you, other single friends. Just anybody but her.
Jeff, as long as you're single and you don't unfriend us on Facebook.
Oh, I heard about that too. Don't unfriend you. I promise. I'm making a vow right now.
Good. See that it's so.
I don't think the public understands that story. I don't know if we should go public with it, but whatever.
Okay. So about midway through the Mormon Bachelorette season, Jeff tries to send Aubrey a message and she has unfriended him. And myself.
No, you actually, doof.
No. She unfriended me.
She never unfriended me. I've always been good to her.
She unfriended me because of my crass comments where I said that her dating practices were lame.
I will not defriend you, Al, this season. You can send whatever crass comment, but only to me.
Thanks, Rick. Please don't be offended if I critique your dating style and I say.
Well, Aaron, you would never defriend Al because you guys have a lengthy and somewhat lecherous history together, don't you?
Many don't know this, but Aaron and I actually had somewhat of a non-scandalous tryst a while ago.
It's true. All took place over the phone, internet, Gmail, Facebook.
But enough about us.
enough about you. That was the best part of my entire fall, was keeping up. Everyone's watching The Mormon Bachelorette, but I got to watch the behind-the-scenes action of my dear co-host.
Which was interesting because it pretty much entailed Aaron saying, the man needs to make all the effort. I will never put forth any effort to have a relationship. If you would like to date me, destroy your life as you know it, move to me, and I will play the role of the Black Widow. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. You're a sweetheart.
Oh, I simply said, if you would like to take me on a date, you either fly me out to where you are or you come here.
And I said, I'm in Kansas City. You're in California. Let's meet in St. George. And you said, no. Let's meet in Denver. No. Let's meet. No. No.
No.
And that's where it ended. I just loved talking to you on the phone so much. I was worried that we would lose the match.
I'm pretty sure you just used me because I'm the only person you know that's awake at 4 a.m.
Oh, how I wish it could have worked out between the two of you.
Regardless, the Mormon Bachelorette was a success, and now it's on to Rick Buck.
The Mormon Bachelor.
Well, yes. Hold on. Back up the phone for a second. Let's define success.
Hey, they only had to date 2 months, and they knew it was eternal marriage.
Last time I checked, success involves someone winding up with me.
Well,
no, isn't
that maybe? Can we get any dirt on the fact that Aubrey only dated this guy for 2 months and they're engaged?
Sometimes you just
know. As true as that may be, there's still some social norms that are in place for a reason, right? And mainly that reason is to keep you from marrying schmucks. And so by adhering to these social norms of dating, 4 months would be short, 6 months average. I mean, I don't think that's too much to ask, right? Why not date 6 months and then take the job?
No, I think – so here's the thing. If you are set up on 22 dates, hand-picked – yes, Jeff Openshaw, that did include you – hand-picked guys that are awesome guys, all 22, and you have the opportunity to get to know them, I think you can pick one of the 22 to spend eternity with. I mean, whatever. It's easy.
So she only needs to date him for 2 months. I'm just calling that a little bit of incentive from, I don't know, maybe the hormones are intensifying here. She might be a little bit ready to move on to the next step of dating after those 22 dates. But for him, this guy, hey, dude, you got to play this out, man. You got to wait and see and check and recheck. I'm just saying.
So there.
2 months. Inappropriate.
Al, they have been brainwashing me. They're trying to force me to do this in such a quick manner, but...
Rick Buck, this is an outrage!
You will propose at the end of the
month. Did you see that video that made me
say
that I was going to do it within 2 weeks?
Okay, that was not... I did not force you. That was voluntary.
My friends will ask me, are you really going to get married 2 weeks after the show?
And what do you say?
The answer is yes.
Of course.
Well, can I just point out from behind the scenes that when we aired that video of Rick saying that he will get married at the end of the show, we had droves of women applying on the site. So if you want to, the worst thing you can do on a date is tell a girl, oh, I don't know if I'll ever get married. I don't want to get married. When you say the M word and you say that you want it,
oh yeah,
I'm just saying.
The world is populated by nothing but clingy, insane women. Who goes on a first date and just starts going up, oh, I want to get married. I want to get married right away as soon as I possibly can. Would that not throw red flags just all over the place, really?
Yeah, but you have to at least let it...
You just said that if you blabber on about marriage on a date, the women love it.
Maybe it's if you blabber on about marriage or take them on a motorcycle.
I think that... I'm still sticking to my motorcycle theory.
Motorcycle is a must.
No, motorcycle, that's a dirty move. That's just a dirty move.
It's unfair, and really nothing says I'm ready to raise a family and have children than I drive a vehicle with two wheels that can only carry my helmet and one other person.
If you can read this shirt, the woman fell off. Good times. Anyway, we'll come back to the Mormon Bachelor. Jeff?
Which, ironically enough, is still found at themormonbachelorette.com or whatever, but hey.
Actually, you know what? Let's do the Mormon Bachelor right now. We can catch up on
that
in a moment.
No! I want to space it out for my own sanity.
I'm curious, Aaron, why not get the Mormon Bachelor? Was that taken?
What do you mean?
URL, domain name.
Why can't we be hosted on
the
Mormon Bachelor?
Okay, so... No, we do have themormonbachelor.com, but we were not able to get some guy, I don't know how long ago, took themormonbachelor.blogspot.com because we host everything on Blogger, on the Google, product. So that's why. But if you type in themormonbachelor.com, it goes to the original site. So you'll see a different URL, but it really is hosted through the Mormon Bachelor.
Why don't you just use WordPress or Squarespace or something like that?
Squarespace makes a good product.
We like what we're used to. I don't know.
Creatures of habit. Oh, Aaron.
No change in this religion. No.
There's none.
So typical.
So typical.
What was that?
All right, Jeff, you got to cut her off.
Aaron has been abducted by aliens, apparently, so we'll wait for her to come back. So anyways, good times.
How was your New Year's, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, it was the New Year.
Just your single, not plural. How was your New Year?
My New Year, well, it's New Year's like possessive, not plural. But it was lovely. I just went to a dinner party. We had wild, good times. And somehow we wound up watching Groundhog Day as part of the festivities.
Oh.
Which I don't really understand, but I love the movie, so I'm never going to complain if someone says we should watch Groundhog Day. The thing that appalled me, though, is that most people in that room had never seen What About Bob. Who has not seen What About Bob?
I think Bill Murray's got some classics, including The Man Who Knew Too Little.
I knew you were going to say that, and I was going to tell you
I've fallen in love with. I think it's a great
it's a terrible film.
It's a great flick. Hey, this is kind of a fun fact. I went to a New Year's party up in Midway. Is there a Midway, Utah?
Yes, Midway. It's a sort of suburb of Heber City, very popular for people buying cabins, second homes.
So it was amongst old people, but there was like a cabin of singles, yes. And so we went up there. But I found out that this came up in casual conversation. The correct plural for Book of Mormons or Books of Mormon, which is it? Do you know?
Well, I've always said Books of Mormon because, you know, I mean, I know Book of Mormon is a full title, so I get pluralizing it. But I've always said Books of Mormon to be grammatically proper.
And you would be incorrect. It's copies of the Book of Mormon because you can't change. It's the actual title, the Book of Mormon. So the correct pluralization of Book of Mormon is copies of the Book of Mormon.
I suppose that makes sense because I can't just say, like, does anybody have, you know, Catchers in the Rye or
Rise,
Harry
exactly.
Potter's.
Exactly. I feel like this would have, like, saved me about 10 hours of discussion on the mission.
This should be in the General Handbook of Instruction.
Yeah, they say, just FYI, it's not Books of Mormon or Book of Mormons. I would pluralize everything just to annoy people.
I think
and give out Books of Mormons.
I think you're adding a new chapter to Doctrine and Covenants as we speak.
This is the official declaration.
We're going to bust into the 140s after this on the sections.
I'll be like, I was sitting in my room ruminating on pluralizing the title of Book of Mormon.
By the way, speaking of the General Handbook, I was reading it today during priesthood meeting. Don't ask why. But the lesson was boring, so I was just looking on my phone. Did you know we can't do hypnosis? Awesome.
Yes, I did.
Are you serious? Hypnosis?
It says, for medical purposes, you should consult a professional if you're doing that sort of thing. But that we should not participate in hypnosis for entertainment value.
Oh, no way.
It's not even real. I did that at the OC Fair just a month or so ago or a couple
And you're
ago.
The Mormon bachelor.
How do you call yourself?
Sinner. That's all. I was trying to look up sorts of exciting things. And
that'll kill every Christmas party at UVU from here on out. Because that's all they do. That's their jam.
Is that what they do at UVU? They do nothing but hypnosis.
And some creepy grinding dances. That's it. But
now that we have
dude, another fun story from another good Mormon story that came out this week. I got a friend that's a flight attendant, and they had Russell M. Nelson on her flight.
I think I know who you're referring to.
And he ordered no, you actually don't. He ordered a orange juice and cranberry, and asked that they be mixed. And she made the comment, oh, we're going to call this the Nelson Martini from here on out.
Did he quickly stop her?
He was not amused. But I loved it.
They could just call it a Nelson.
Could a dirty Nelson?
That has a good ring to it, right?
The full dirty Nelson.
A dirty Nelson.
Bring out the cranberry juice. This is about to get crazy.
Yep.
But
anyway, so stuff was good. Your New Year's looked lovely, given the activity.
I went ice climbing.
Yes.
I went ice climbing. I felt like I was in a movie with the pickaxes and the cleats, the crampons. I mean, it was very exciting.
You looked beautiful. It looked like a grand time,
dude. It was about 7 degrees, and our rope kept getting frozen to the mountain. When you ice climb, there's a lot more to it than just rock climbing. But I actually enjoyed it more than I do rock climbing because being a big guy. I have a very weak upper body in proportion to my lower. I'm much stronger in the legs and the arms, you know, and so rock climbing is a little bit strenuous, and ice climbing. I was king of the mountain with these crampons, just running up this mountain. It was great. So what I'm trying to say is, it's fun to climb ice.
Climb ice, that's terrific, sir.
Everyone should do more of it.
That's what you did on New Year's.
I did, yeah. So we woke up at the ripe old hour of noon.
Noon!
And climbed.
You didn't watch the Rose Parade?
I watch the Rose Bowl later on.
Who boring? Who does not watch the Rose Parade? The flowers?
I don't. Hey Rick, what did you do for New Year's?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I went to a party down in San Diego on New Year's Eve.
You didn't do the Orange County one.
I didn't do. I did. Well, I had the illusion that the San Diego one was going to be like the one they had 2 years ago, where it was just completely packed. But alas, Orange County wins again, and they've stolen all the crowd from that party. And so,
huzzah!
I feel like the New Year's parties have gotten to the point now where it's most of our efforts are spent wandering, and then now I'm to the point where I'm just trying to avoid them. I'm like, let's go get a cabin up somewhere in Idaho where no one will be, and we can just play Mario Kart
and come up with the resolutions.
Absolutely.
I've already failed in one of my resolutions, by the way. Already
failed. I forgot today was Fast Sunday. I had a fresh start. I was going to hit the fast every month, and I forgot.
Oh, that's just plain sad.
Did you know TWIM inspired my New Year's resolution?
What was that?
I'm not aware of this. What is this?
This is groundbreaking. I, after you guys podcast, what was it, last week on sacrament meetings, or was that 2 weeks ago?
Last week was sacrament stuff.
Last week was sacraments. I decided that I was going to have more spiritual and worshipful sacrament meetings. And today I focused all the way through sacrament meeting. It was hard. It was hard because they are a little bit on the boring side sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I left with a more uplifting experience thanks to my buddy Jeff and Al.
He's so spiritual, ladies.
We've won. We did it, Jeff. We did it.
By the way, did you see that Jana Reese gave us some love?
No.
She tweeted us for having her.
Sweet.
Because I tweeted her first. So it was.
Well, still, awesome.
Is Erin even there anymore?
She's not. She's left us.
Has she left us? Why is she like that? So much hate.
Typical Orange County women.
Yeah, she is gone. I was going to ask her how her New Year's was, but I'm sure it involved hanging around with her fruity boyfriend, doing who knows what.
Well.
Whatever.
He's a cool
guy. That's neither here nor there.
He's a cool guy. Let's press on. Let's press on. And perhaps we'll be joined again by Miss Elton. So, I'm all out of funk. When I've got people here with me on the show, I can't think straight. Yes, our first story of the day.
It's an exciting one.
It's thrilling. I'm looking at the wrong feed right here. There we go. So let's talk about immigration. Yeah. Anyways, the LA Times, which in recent years...
Great article on this.
It is a good article. And of course, this is wonderful because the LA Times has not been noted for spectacular journalism of late. It seems like they're practically just buying every story off the AP. So this was a great story that it's actually someone from the Times did this. The article is called Among Mormons, a Deep Divide on Immigration. And it goes on to cite sort of the differing points of view of two different LDS gentlemen who are on different sides of the immigration debate. Because we often think of Arizona and SB 1070 and this and that. And we fail to realize that Utah also has a strong immigration community. And at the same time, Utah has extremely laxed immigration laws. And a lot of that is because of the sociocultural impact of the church, so to speak. Because we're all about the tolerance and the love and blah, blah, blah.
And
blah,
we love
blah.
The Lamanites.
We do love the Lamanites. I don't know if Al does.
I love.
But I do. So, anyway, so there's this guy named Sandstrom, and he hates immigrants, and he wants them all to die, to sum it up. And there's another guy who's...
Dude, that is wrong. This is a great story. Come on, man.
His name is Tony Yapias from Peru. And he grew up in the church. Al, if you have things to add, please. If you feel I'm not doing a justice to the story...
Well, no, the differing points of view are like this is two of the fascinating ones because Sandstorm, his whole approach, like his approach to immigration, comes based in the gospel, but he sees it as we have to adhere to the rule of law, and if we don't, then like that's the tenets that this nation was founded on was the fact that we're obedient to something, right? And so being obedient to the rule of law gives us something to cling to and something that defines us as a nation. And then Yapias, how do you say that? Tony?
Does it matter?
Let's just call him Tony. Big Tony.
Tony, his view was more like his father was an immigrant that worked in Wyoming. and ends up, you know, finally, by the time Tony was 14, his father could send for him, and they were all able to immigrate. And so he sees it from the immigrant's perspective of, you know, we were separated because we had to be, and if we could have, like, maybe expedited the process or worked on things a little bit, then we could have saved our family and been together and lived a happy life here in America. So, like, they both cite core LDS principles as their defining beliefs, and they're, like, completely at odds with each other. And both, you know, they make comments like, I can't believe the other one can even believe this. How can you believe this and still be a Mormon? And I think that's something that a lot of people, particularly in the LDS church, up through, you know, through Arizona up into Utah, find themselves at odds with other members of the same same congregation, saying, you know, well, and it's the comments of people that are, you know, that look at Democrats and Republicans the same way, where they say, how can this guy, how, I don't understand it. My mom said this very thing. I don't understand how you could be a Democrat and a Mormon. I just don't understand it.
How dare you?
And, you know, it's what it is, though, is it's you're basing your core beliefs, everything that's defining you, on one set or one portion of the principles of your religion, while the other person is basing it on another. And I don't know. I love this story because it's very eloquent in how it points it out and kind of paints the story.
It does.
So carry on.
No, no, you're fine. On the note of Democrats and being Mormon, there's that famous quote. Someone asked that of President Benson once, whether you could be a good Mormon and be a Democrat. And he wasn't annoyed, but he was actually like, he said affirmatively that of course you can be. Of course. Now, he himself was a Republican. You know, he worked in the Eisenhower administration back in the day and all that stuff. But of course you can be from either party. I mean, obviously within either party, you could hold views that would be contrary to the teachings of the church. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
But, like you said, you know, it is funny seeing the different points of view that people can take from our belief. Because, yeah, we believe in the rule of law. I do think, based on the things the church has done in Utah to try to kind of moderate, the church has kind of tried to serve as a moderator with this debate without fully getting into it. And the church seems to have leaned a bit more on the side of Tony, of Brother Yapias, in that we need to have compassion on those who are here, namely because we believe the most important thing is for families. Yeah, we believe in obeying the laws of the land, but we believe that families, of course, are the building block and the core of everything that we do. And so, you know, we would hate to see families torn asunder because of super stringent immigration law that would separate parents from their children, for example. And I can't see how, you know, it is, like you said, both sides.
It's really interesting to read through it, though, because you'll find yourself nodding your head to both sides, right? You know, they make the argument that turning a blind eye to illegal immigration jeopardizes the rule of law, and we shouldn't do that. You know, this should be something that's just or addressed proactively. Well, on the other side, you know, you're nodding your head with Tony saying, yeah, you know, like, we shouldn't be breaking this up, and, like, we need to have a little bit of charity. We are a country that has more to offer than most, and we need to offer it. We need to find a way to, you know, to be accommodating to those that would look for it. But
I agree. Rick, what do you think?
Are both these guys politicians that you're talking about?
Yes. They are, yeah.
I forgot. Is Tony actually a politician? I think he's just an activist.
Or was he?
I know that the other guy, Mr. Sandstrom, is in the Utah State Assembly. And so he's the one actually pushing the bill that is similar to Arizona's, so to speak. But he can't get it through because Utah is different from Arizona, because the Republicans don't vote as a united bloc in Utah. It's true, just because of stuff like this, because of the different points of view of compassion or rule of law.
I think what I was thinking about when I was reading the article was not so much who is right, but I was, the whole time I couldn't get my mind off of, why are they telling the church what it believes on immigration? And that's what I couldn't get out of my head, is it should be the other way around, the church telling more the politicians what it believes and them going from there. It just seemed backwards that like that we're all supposed to trust a politician on his views of what church should be.
Well, I think it's that's a good point, Rick, particularly because the church won't take a stand on something like this. Well, probably it won't take a stand on it unless there's a bill that comes up that threatens something that the church holds dear. And so you're not, you know, they're not going to tell you how to vote. They're not going to tell you how to believe on this at all. And so it's just kind of floating out there, which it kind of leaves it open for the wolves in sheep's clothing type of thing. I mean, it's tough for you can have these politicians that are LDS, that do subscribe to our beliefs, and they stand up and say, actually, the way our beliefs should be interpreted is X. And, you know, the church rarely says anything. Like, they just kind of let it play out, right? And they just let it happen and say, we're going to stay Switzerland here and let this stuff go its own. But it is.
Hey,
it's kind of
we know
thing.
What Switzerland thinks of people right now.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes, they hate the missionaries.
Remember non-European Union people.
Well, I agree with you. I think that's what the church should do. I think they should say, hey, on this case, we're not going to take issue, but we believe in upholding the law. So whichever way the law decides to go, we support that.
But it puts the church in a tough position, though, man, because like they want to uphold the law, but like it's kind of like vote with your head and practice with your heart. The compassion has to be shown. There shouldn't be any prejudices or anything like that actually being played out. But like, if you have the opportunity to vote on something, vote your conscience. But you know, if somebody's stranded on the side of the road, it doesn't matter who they are or how they got there. The fact is they need to be helped.
Yeah. I mean, and when you say it like that, it comes down to a debate between how do we interpret, you know, what human dignity is or what, you know, rule of law is. Failure to obey the law, who cares, you know, be darned, doesn't matter.
Fascinating read though, man.
It truly is, and it's hard to find, you know, the right way to fully interpret it, because like, for example, when you get into rule of law stuff, the church believes in that, obviously, and even there have been many cases when especially during the communist era, during the Cold War, when we would encourage members in communist countries to obey the laws of their land, even if it somehow curbed their ability to worship
the
church. But then I wonder how far, like, you know, how long do we say we'll sustain the law? Like, the story mentions, of course, there's things like we're anti-abortion for the most part in the church, except for the exceptions, but we don't think we need to go stampede abortion clinics or anything like that, because we still uphold the rule. We uphold the laws, even if we have a stance that is against it in one way or another. But it makes me wonder if at what point would there be the straw that breaks the camel's back when civil disobedience is really the only way that we can live the gospel appropriately. When will that day come? And then what do we do? Is that a paradox? Do we revise the articles of faith? What do we do?
Wait, how do you mean? What are you talking about?
I am talking about what I just said.
I think he's referring to what if this immigration thing gets out of hand?
Yeah, there you go.
And what do we do in that situation?
Yeah. And then it could apply to anything. What happens if for now we can always say, like,
how,
yeah, we need people
how
to
exactly work. Would the immigration thing get out of hand, though?
That's yeah, I'm lost on that one too, Al.
I was using it as an example for all sorts of things. I mean, all sorts of things that we oppose as members of the church could become law or even, like, requisite. What if things became requisite? What if we have members in a random country where, you know, I can't think of anything, but where crazy immoral behavior is a must, where there's all sorts of problems? How do we reconcile that as a church body when we believe in keeping the rule of law, like we talk about in the article, but if, say, the laws of a land just wildly contradict the teachings of the church?
You know, I've often wondered that, particularly around, like Nazi Germany, right? Like, we know that there were plenty of LDS people in Germany when the World War II started, right? And, you know, there's one thing to be said for the fact that they were just following orders. You know, it wasn't their idea to do this. And when you're in the army, you know, your job is to take orders, and that's what you have to do.
It's true.
On the other hand, the people that resisted it ended up being the heroes, right? And so, I don't know, who was right, and who did the right thing before God? I don't even know how to respond to that. That's been a question that I've kind of struggled with for a long time, just out of curiosity, you know, like, who's to say what was right? And I think we'll probably see a lot of that same, you know, kind of dilemma play out throughout our lives, where, you know, you can't say one's the right way definitively. You kind of just have to sense it in the moment and do what you feel is right. Which is why I don't necessarily take issue with some of the LDS people that oppose the Proposition 8 stuff, right? Like, I mean, people, we knew as a church came out and spoke on it, and, you know, but a lot of people had very passionate feelings about that. And honestly, like, I don't fault anybody for acting their conscience or what they felt like they needed to.
Sure.
You know, obviously you support the church in all that you do, But if there's some things where you differ, then, you know, you need to be very careful about it, obviously. But, like, I'm not as severe on those kind of things. I don't judge that as harshly, I think, as I do stereotypical stuff of just, like, living life where the church says very clearly, do this, do this, do this. I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling, but it's a question that I don't think there's an answer to.
I feel you, dog. True that.
Thanks, dog.
Yeah. Word up. Let's move on.
All right. So Orson Scott Card wrote an op-ed in the Mormon Times this week where he talked about the Provo Tabernacle. And essentially, Jeff interprets it as Orson Scott Card directly combating my comments on the Provo Tabernacle.
Not entirely, but
I love about it is he talked about how they're often, and he appreciated just the fact that it was beautiful, and that's why he was almost embarrassed at his when he heard that the town, and the grief came from of the architecture and, you know, all the effort that went into it and the beauty that was found there, and the thing for me though, well, like, I don't know, he had gone there often, he appreciated it, and he was happy that it was there. I guess I like it. It's a good piece. It's a good piece. Probably much more eloquent and inviting and gathering than what I have been saying. But I mean, beauty doesn't do us a whole lot of good if we don't appreciate it. So people go appreciate it. But Orson Scott Card, touche, my good man. You're absolutely right. We should just be excited that there's beautiful things in the world and let that.
Yeah.
Rick, you know, I'm not backing down. He's got some merit in saying that there is something to be said for just beautiful things in general. But, you know, I adhere to the fact that people, you know, go and participate. Go see these things, right? Like, it's a shame when you go to L.A. and you meet people that have never been to the Getty. It's like, you realize this is one of the greatest museums in our country that sits right here for free. Just go knock yourself out. But no, they won't make the 20-minute drive because traffic's bad or something. You cowards.
20 minutes.
You don't drive like I do, Jeff.
Oh, you are a funny young man.
I'm not backing down, but I'm like opening up my view, Rick, for others to come in. I'm like a Bruce R. McConkie. I'll say something, and then
you're changing your view when the prophet tells you to.
That's right.
Which is all we can do, really. That's all we can do. We talked, I think, about this before. The church had open casting, which I think is still in effect for this new series of educational videos, New Testament videos. Effectively, I believe,
I can't wait.
Replacing the current crop of, you know, the old seminary videos you had, New Testament, all that stuff. So I believe they've been working on this. And then we found that they – I didn't know the church had major studios in Goshen.
Well, Goshen,
I've been through Goshen before.
Sandtown.
Where exactly
or
is
Mechanicsville
Goshen
or Sodom before it was officially named Goshen?
Sure.
I just
yeah, it's a city.
I
it's
just
in
love
Utah
that they
County.
Named it Sodom.
Sort of west of Payson, Santa
Quinn. Before
area,
it was
kind of
Goshen,
over the hills
it was
out
Sodom.
There.
I do. I'm
it's
reading
called Goshen.
It right here.
You don't know this.
Well, how would you like to be the mayor?
Real estate prices.
You know what, people? If you're not going to vote for me next term, I'm renaming the town Sodom.
So, anyway, Goshen was, I'm proud to say I've been there. But I didn't know the church has, like, mega studios down there. I always thought the church's main studios were the ones in Provo, you know, over there off of the street. You know, behind the shopping center with the Dollar Theater and the Olive Garden and the Zupas. Oh, I miss Zupas. Side note. But I thought that was like the major studio, but apparently we have studios in Goshen.
830 acres.
They have built
a square mile area.
Yeah, I don't know the dimensions because I don't know anything.
But they're
Thank you.
Rebuilding parts of the Holy
Land.
That is
huge.
So like chunks of old Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and other New Testament period places, they say. But which is going to be kind of cool that there will be a standing set of like Jerusalem out in the middle of Utah.
Yeah, I mean, I assume maybe they'll leave it there. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it's got to be fun to be building it right now. I guess they're not going to be filming until, I don't know, when there's non-snow around. But yeah, this massive set, I guess. It makes me want to go there. You should go there, Al, because you're currently
in Utah. Well, the New Testament, dude, I should totally go there.
I want you to go to there.
I will go to there. The
go to Goshen. It's not. It's you know.
But they're redoing. They're doing the New Testament project, which will be 30 or so video vignettes.
Yep.
But I'm just stoked that like we'll have some kind of modern stuff going on. It should be fun. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the casting call is still open. If you want to be a New Testament man or woman, you're welcome to.
Not only will I say I'm with you, I will remind you that I let off the story saying
And I think the best way to let them know that you would like to be part of that is with a chocolate revolver. But they're going to be very busy, so you should run right onto the set and try and give it to them.
I'm actually doing the Mormon Bachelor, so I can have some clout to get into these New Testament videos.
You'll be like, perhaps you've heard of me, Rick Buck. I would like to play the part of Peter.
Speaking of, I guess now's a better time than any other to talk a little bit about the Mormon Bachelor,
sure.
Isn't it?
I think it now.
Rick Phillison, what? Why?
Rick, as I turn my chair to face you in conversational / intimidation style, tell us about why you wanted to be the Mormon Bachelor.
All right, well, let me tell you a little bit of the gossip. Erin's not here, so.
Yeah, she just, like, left. I think you offended her, Al.
I'm not surprised. I often have that effect on women.
Especially on her, from what I hear. Okay, so, well, I'll be honest with you. During the, a little towards the end of last season, I was picking up vibes that Aubrey was not going to choose neither I nor Jeff to be the winner.
Is it because Jeff was the only date she publicly criticized?
I
excuse me, there was Mr. there picture was guy one. And McDonald's and stuff. He was a winner. Huge winner. Huge winner.
Well, I don't want to diss Saver, so or is that where you went?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to diss Saver, so I'll just leave that comment to its to
nor
itself.
Should you. They paid for my date. I went there for a reason. I was sponsored.
So towards the end of last season, I will admit I went to Erin. I said, "Hey, are you gonna do a Mormon Bachelor? This thing seems to be pretty successful." And she said, "Yeah, we're probably gonna do it." And I said, "Well, if you're looking for an eligible bachelor, and if Aubrey isn't gonna pick me, then I would be more than willing to do so." And she said, "Well, you have a green light, sort of. You have the yellow light. That's the yellow light. They're still going to leave it open for other people to do the show." But
yes, so that their casting call is not a sham, so effectively.
It's not a sham, but it wasn't. She was true the whole time. She never gave me a full yes until the day before they chose someone, and then she told me, and I said, "Sweet, I'm going to do it." Beforehand, I went to my buddy. She said, "You do have to submit an application video." So I went and did that. And I had a buddy that he makes professional videos.
Application videos for bachelors.
He normally makes rap videos, so I knew it wasn't the style. It wasn't going to be. I wasn't going to have to.
The spinny rims on the car.
Yeah, that's why you got the car scene with the 007, and he specializes.
It was very cinematic. I was impressed.
It was. He did a really good job. He did it for free, so I got to send my props out to Ken X. But
what up, Ken X?
That's his name, Ken X. But he did that video for me. They sent it in. They highlighted some things. They're always highlighting that I'm a dentist. Believe it or not, that's not me. Always saying
because the producers think that all the women care about is money and stability. Money.
Rick
yeah.
has both of those. Money and stability.
He's a dentist. But does he have emotional stability? This is truly my what I seek to discover.
I have emotional stability. To a fault, probably, sometimes.
You have an alter ego and an obsession with Batman.
Ah, that's true, too.
I just want to note that.
Actually, it's not so much Batman. It's the Batmobile that I've always been obsessed with.
So then why do you drive a Chrysler 300?
Well, you know, I looked up...
Where's your Tumblr, son?
Actually, to tell you the truth...
Where's your Tumblr?
I went online and I looked for the Batmobile before I bought my car. And for, I forget how many euros it was, but it was in the 300,000 euros or something, you could buy a Batmobile. Not
it's
the Tumblr.
Something to save
old,
up for,
old
then.
Old school.
I would want the Tumblr.
Yeah. But
you could do some damage in the Tumblr.
On a separate note, it gets 1 mile per gallon, so.
This ain't no Prius engine.
No. So yes, that's my story. They told me I'm going to do the Mormon Bachelor. I agreed. I'm actually really excited to do it. 22 days.
So
can't
be women that. Apply? Like if they all are the slots full?
Yeah, is that set in stone? Are all
the women
chosen?
Have applied. They have filled up they have more than enough to do it. They're just keeping it open.
That's got to be flattering, right?
Yeah. Well, they said that they told me there's been around. Well, I don't know how many. If I'm allowed to say how many applications there came in, but there's more.
Oh,
than
you
enough.
Are.
There's more than enough.
like twice as many as there are slots. Three times as
probably
many.
Probably about
three times as many.
But, well, four. Let's just say it's.
Do it.
It's in the
say
ten,
it.
It's in the
say
ten.
It.
Ten times. No, it. I'm joking. It's a little over double than the slots. But
well, that is impressive,
they're,
sir.
They're keeping some of the slots open just in case they have any last minutes that really want to do it.
And is it kind of
and hiccups happen?
Rick, are they the same rules where like the women are responsible to pay for the date and they have to fly out?
No, believe it or not, they have been getting sponsors, and if there is anybody that wants to sponsor, they can still do that. But the sponsors are probably going to be able to pay for all, if not most.
Wow,
of the
man. What about the out of state people? Are you open to a long distance relationship?
I'm open to it. It's going to have to, and there are some coming in from out of town, from what I hear. I know nothing about who they are. They tell me, or their names, I should say. I don't know anything about their names. They tell me a little bit,
of course,
about who they are. There's a couple of East Coasters coming in.
Wow. Yeah,
all right.
And are you responsible for planning the date, or are they?
I'm responsible
for the second
round,
right?
Dates. Yes, they're responsible for the first ones, planning the first. You know, I gotta say one thing. I gotta question the motive behind some of these girls coming from the East Coast. I normally can't get a girl to drive from across the town to come see.
No, because they all
these ones are flying across the state. So no, I'm joking. I'm from what I hear, they're doing a good job screening. So
well, I gotta say,
this wonderful job last time.
Single women is brilliant. As soon as I heard their ploy to meet men, I thought this has to be applied for men meeting women. We should get the equally sexist approach to dating. I think you've done a great job. I can't think of a better guy to push up the ranks here than you, Rick Buck.
Thank you, Al.
Really, thanks a lot. Thanks, Al.
No. Present company excluded,
you just have a little
of course.
Too much scruff.
Jeff.
Did you forget that I was also a bachelor?
Jeff,
we were equals.
You and I
were equals
you and
once.
I are,
equals.
Are bachelors as well, but I don't think either of us have the Rick Bucketness that it takes to pull something like
I
this.
I think
off.
Rick will be very entertaining for these dates.
You had to kiss Aubrey on the date to be eligible to be the bachelor.
I don't think we had that in us.
Once again, why was I not eligible to be a bachelor? Aubrey, you know what you did.
Yeah, good time. Well, dude, that's great. So good luck with that. I hope you find true love in 2 weeks.
When is the when's the first date going to be put up on the website, airing, so to speak? When will that
15th.
Be? The 15th. So the 15th of January, friends.
The 15th of January.
Which is Saturday.
I
guess I'm looking at my calendar right now. I guess
tune
so.
In, folks.
I should probably know that. Yes.
So on the 15th of January, that'll be when you can first see Rick's dates and
now,
bliss.
Now Rick, I would like to petition that we have one date that Jeff and I can just make commentary on the video before it's published. We'd like to have an audio track, kind of like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 type of thing, where we just comment on it. We'll just like
that'd be really funny,
and post it on the blog as well.
Yes,
or we'll post it on ours, and you can cross post. I think that'd be very amusing, actually, because if you don't do it. We know how to just yank the videos off of YouTube and do our own.
I'll pirate
anyway.
It. We'll start.
So it'll be a lot more fun if you do it before the fact, so we can do a simul release. You know, it'll be.
Okay.
I just made up a word, simul release.
As long as I can still defriend Al after
dang
that.
Dang it, Rick
I
Buck!
Take back my comment earlier.
There's no defriending. All right.
Well, we know that you will, if you don't find true love, you will at least, you'll probably get a fair amount of NICMO out of this.
Oh, yeah. Right? Non-committal makeout.
Thank you for explaining what NICMO is to our listeners.
I haven't used the term for 8 years since I've been in Utah.
Bravo. Well, it's coming back full circle, everybody.
Do you have any reservations about that? Because that's one of those things that, like, you watch The Real Bachelor and you're like, this is like softcore porn. I mean, you're just making out with different women every single...
Will you be not wearing a shirt, only illuminated by a pool light?
I hope there will be a hot tub scene. I can't promise you because...
Yes,
you know.
Hot tub scene.
Do you have any reservations to the kissing multiple women in a week?
I have thought, actually, this is probably what
Skank
I have...
Skank it up, son.
This
just
is what
it.
I have thought
Enjoy
most
yourself.
Of because I am going to look, really bad I have to be open to it, and I hope the people watching understand that I'm going to be taking each date at a time, and if I have to kiss multiple women, so be it. I will do it.
I like how Rick is talking like he's a victim of circumstance. If I am forced to make out with multiple women, I will do it because that is what true love calls for. That is the cross that I have to bear.
To that degree, I
in the name of entertainment, I will do
it. Any man that's been taken under the mistletoe unwillingly knows your pain, Rick.
That would be me.
Or has gone on a date with an RM.
So. Whoa, yeah. Whoa.
Well, good luck. Well, we'll be following it per usual. We only ask that you don't censor our comments.
Yeah, if we, if we comment on the blog, we expect those to get pushed through. All right. So
anyway, but let's.
Yeah. Good luck, Rick. You have our blessing. We wish you all the best.
Right.
And we have
please
one or two more
like
stories before we call it quits today.
Yes, I believe so.
So the Deseret Times put out a top stories for 2010, which I thought was interesting because the way that they gathered these was just off of stats from their website rather than like actual interestingness or coolness. But some interesting ones that we didn't really pick up on was the Elizabeth Smart returning from her mission to testify.
We mentioned it a little bit on the show.
I still, you know, like I feel really – it's got to be crummy for her. You know, to have to come revisit this in the middle of, like, the greatest spiritual experience.
Of her mission,
That she's ever had, right? And so, like...
Hi, I have to leave France and go back and testify. Yeah.
It's going to be a dirty move, but, like, I don't know. I didn't really follow the story that well 10 years ago, I guess, is probably why it's not that huge to me.
History is silly. We can't learn anything from
it. Amen. The number 9 story of the year for 2010... The bishop that was slain, Bishop Clay Sennar.
That was super sad. The one in Visalia,
yeah.
Right?
Gosh.
That was super sad.
Yeah, that was a...
You remember that, Rick?
I do remember that.
The number 8, which we willingly did not mention, is the David Archuleta singing with the Mormon...
With Motab?
With the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
How is that number? How is that number 8 of all the important things to have? I think the Provo Tabernacle
it got the
down
most
bigger
views?
News than David Archuleta.
I will contest. How is that not number 1?
he beat many things. Number 7 is the advances in technology. So like youth.lds.org, store.lds.org all came out this year. The new handbook of instructions.
Oh, I mean, so we designed web pages.
The new handbook of instructions came out. FamilySearch.org was improved. Mormon.org and LDS.org were redesigned. Combatpornography.org, which we reported on like February, was started.
Oh, yeah.
Quentin L. Cook wrote his first blog post, the first blog post of an apostle. And missionaries in Rochester, New York started the pilot project to do online missionary work. So kind of cool.
That's a very big number 7.
I think that gathered many of the stories. So stats combined to pull that in.
Of course. And as a side note, I went on and created a Mormon.org profile last week. I did.
We should make a
twim. They haven't emailed me yet about it being approved.
We should make a twim Mormon.org profile and have it be.
I think they might disapprove me because they say you can like link to a website, you know, but they requested it not be anything commercial. But we don't make any money, so I felt like it was okay.
I feel like it's okay.
Right?
The number 6 top story.
Can I link to the Mormon Bachelor? Sorry.
Yeah, link it to that.
I mean, it's a perfect dating profile site, Mormon.org. It's like, I have a testimony, and here's why I'm a member of the church.
I admit, I was looking for hot girls in Europe.
Of course you were.
I put the filter on for European women.
22 to 30.
They were all married. I kid you not, all of them were married American women living in Europe.
Oh.
None of them were even Europeans.
Poor them. The number 6 top story, protection of marriage, the Prop 8 stuff.
Sure.
Makes sense. The number five, Family History Development. So the new library that opened in Riverton, and the other, well, I guess I didn't realize this, but the 24 family history centers in South Salt Lake were closed because they were moving everything to the new mega facility, the mecca of family history, if you will. So, I don't know, consolidation of family history.
It's a crazy world,
yo. That number five. Number four, the activities in China, the regularization of activities for the church.
That really meant nothing, though. I guess,
but because China was in the headline, it makes sense that it pulled in high.
China,
everyone's like, church
in
China.
They're moving up in the world.
Number three is the missionary efforts, the combined two new African countries that were dedicated for the preaching of the gospel. The first stake in Uganda.
What was that? That was Burundi and something else, right? Angola.
Yeah, and then the other troubles that missionaries have seen.
That was a recent one, too. Continue.
The new temples was number two. So we have like...
Is that going to be on there every year?
They just group them all together. That's like cheating. Everyone loves reading about temples getting dedicated, and there were like five.
Yeah, well, and the Kiev temple. Like, that got a ton of stuff written about it. So,
because it was the best temple ever.
And then the number one, which, again, like, this is so stacked. But the humanitarian aid. So they got like a million stories on the humanitarian aid. But good job, church, on shipping lots of food.
Huzzah.
Kudos.
Stuff. So anyway, yay, we'll link to that. You guys can go check it out. It's a good reliving of 2010.
It was a good year, and now it's 2011. Also, since it is 2011, should we hit Zarahemla Times right now?
Let's
or do, you
do
want
it
to
right now.
Random stories first. I fear you will have to read it to us, Al, because my browser's crashed.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sorry, but please,
New Year's
take us to
plans
the world.
Is the title. New Year's Plans.
Take us to Kevin Beckstrom's world.
New Year's Plans. It starts off, there's three panels, and it's the man, the father, and the wife standing together. I forget their names.
So Nephi, whatever the wife's name is, I forgot. And who else?
Just Nephi and the wife. And Nephi says they're standing in front of the night scene looking into the sky, and Nephi says, well, it's a new year. And the wife says, with new possibilities. Then the next frame, Nephi says, it looks a lot like the old one. And the wife says, with new possibilities. Then the next frame, then Nephi says here, but with new possibilities. And then the wife says, I'm glad you agree. Here's a list of goals we can work on. Booyah! I added the booyah.
I love you, Kevin Beckstrom. That one doesn't even make
sense. Can we give a bump though? I feel like we should just mob him with comments. Like,
we should let him know that there's traffic. Okay,
hundreds of comments, people.
Because no one ever tells me when we do this on the show. Because I know we do the Zarahemla Times for our own amusement, basically. And no one who listens to the show ever tells me that they bother to click on the link, to click on it, to go to that website. So as part of our New Year initiative, we want to raise the profile of Zarahemla. The guy's been doing it for like 3 years.
I'm the only comment in the history of his site.
I don't know why they don't get more traffic. I mean, with Jeff's comment, I don't even think that makes sense.
All right, you don't have to.
You have to behold the joy. Everyone go there so he sees his traffic go up, assuming he checks his traffic. And everyone comment.
Dude, we got to leave a comment all on New Year's plans. All right, we'll put a link in, but like, please.
All about New Year's plans.
We're gonna push this through Facebook and stuff too. Because think about it. Like, if he all of a sudden gets 100 comments on there of like, friggin' awesome, you're the best. His day is like made beyond belief.
And if I can make Kevin Beckstrom happy, I'd like to.
We all would like to. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for reading the Zarahemla Times. We also have we described the story as Hot Finnish Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've seen this?
The Mormon Times breaking the news, man.
Oh, yeah. About her, Jana Christensen.
Jana,
yes.
I believe.
Or Jana. She's a Finn, but if her name is Jana Christensen, she is an ethnic Swede. So let's call
it's the same
it
thing, Jeff. The Finns want to be Swedes.
They don't. Their language isn't even related. It's not Germanic. They have
she's singing out about modesty. Kind of a cool story, actually. A recent convert.
It
Jeff
is a good story,
music,
which is
though.
Sad because the song is pretty lame, but it is a good story. I'm not going to dispute
How
that.
How would you describe her music?
Stupid.
I would describe it as popish.
It is popish. I guess it's hard when you watch stuff with a good message because we're so cynical in this day and age. Because, I mean, the chorus is basically like, I want to cover myself. I want to. It's like a chant for wearing burkas, practically.
You're breaking my heart.
So it's kind of hard not to listen to it and just feel like it's kind of silly because it seems like it's like sanctioned by, you know, like sponsored by EFY.
I love her.
Yana, like
come to me. I will protect
but
you.
But she's cute. I
be
like
my
her talent.
Mormon
I'm not...
bachelorette.
We should get her on the Mormon Bachelorette. I mean,
you want to know something funny?
Always.
I have actually met
her.
You've met Yana?
I have met Yana. She lived in L.A. for a while.
Did she?
Yes, she did. She told me the story that you guys wrote, or that you guys showed me.
Well, I know she's a convert. I know she's a prom. She's a relatively prominent
right.
pop
she
star in Finland, right?
The Finnish version of American Idol, and she converted after she won, and she got a lot of flack from it, and then she decided to come to America. I think she's back, or
everywhere
maybe or
around
like
the world.
Tell me, will you find her?
They're
for
coming
me?
To America.
Will you use your mystical Mormon bachelor
it
powers?
It will take a couple of calls, and I can find her.
We would love to have her on the show, and we'll be nice to her, sort of. I might ask her about some questions about, you know, chord progression, simple stuff like that, just choices in that regard.
I think she's going. There's a little thing nowadays in the music industry. She's kind of trying to say Hollywood is dumb and that not everyone should be a puppet in her song. There's
the puppet song.
It is the puppet song, and it's just saying that Hollywood kind of makes people a puppet. And she's not going to be.
I agree with her.
And that there is.
I do agree with
her. It is a good message in the song. Unfortunately, she needs to put it in a more creative way and with a little bit.
No, you know, what? I think bravo for puppeting yourself in that song.
And now the man who loves cake more than any other band is going to tell us how to be more artistic. Go, please.
Cake is the most brilliant piece of musical symphonic genius you'll ever hear.
Please tell us what you think.
However, their new single, I'm a little bit disappointed because it's I'm So Sick of You looped like 20 times.
Could that be because they stink?
No, they had an off-recording session, and they chose to make that their hit single.
Which they decided to master and subsequently publish.
They decided to make their single.
Well, Jeff, they have something in common, just to give Al some props. They both sang about long jackets.
Oh, yeah.
So,
knee-length skirts and long jackets. Right, I love that song.
Is that what Yana sings about, long jackets?
Well, I don't know, but I
she's like wearing.
She wouldn't be against it.
She's like wearing tights in the video.
I want a guy with a mind like a diamond. Yeah, good times.
Well, we love
her. Also an updating on the temple shooting.
Yes, any new news
there? We're rushing through this a little bit, but apparently the man that was shot at the Ochre Mountain Temple, he was being investigated in regards to a Ponzi scheme. With some financial scamming that was going on. So it looked like he had a little bit more to his story than just being a crazy guy. So just updating you there.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah,
you know.
So he was in sad world, Ponzi schemes, et cetera, et cetera.
And
et cetera.
In our popular segment of worthless stories out of the Mormon times.
Do I have to make another soundbite again for this?
Worthless stories out of the Mormon times.
Well done. The Mormon Times brings us this story of a Utah father's sons find. this is such a terrible headline. Utah father, comma sons find spiritual fit with Lego hobby.
Thanks for the grammar.
The Sandy Utah family. Apparently, they've attached scripture studies to their love of Legos, and they act out the stories with Legos. Van Wagenen, get a life, man. Get a life. He went to work with his sons to build Lego dioramas of each scene. Blah, blah, blah. One of our favorite scenes to design was the Tree of Life in the Great and Spacious Building from Lehi's Dream. Of course it was your favorite because the Great and Spacious Building is something you can build out of Legos. Try building me a Leahona.
I want to know how they made the Legos float on that one. Because doesn't the Great and Spacious Building actually...
It's on a cloud. There's no foundation. I feel like they probably took some creative liberties.
I submit there's some structural errors in the Legos.
Fishing line was used.
They've got mobiles hanging from the ceiling.
And it floats. I just want to see if they took out some like modeler's paint, and if they took Lego guys and painted them to make them look like Lehi and Nephi. Really, you know, just gussy them up. Because, you know, all you've got with Lego options are either pirates or knights, neither of which really fulfills your need for Old Testament era.
Well, all you have to
action.
Do to make a Nephi, and everyone knows this, is just put a headband on. Because every depiction of Nephi is just a buff guy with a headband.
Yeah, as long as you look like a football player with a headband, you're set.
Anyway, that's all we got, man. Rick, thank you for joining us.
You serious? Oh, it's been such a pleasure. I love this. This is good.
I kind of feel bad that we introduced Erin and then she just disappeared.
I blame her flight.
Erin, if you're mad at us, we're sorry. Yeah, it's true.
But we love her.
Erin is beautiful and would have made this just too good for the listeners to even participate.
She might have been. But anyway, Rick, it's great to have Rick here because he's wanted to be on the show anyway. And
thanks,
now
guys.
His new calling as Mormon Bachelor has given us a fantastic excuse because friendship alone isn't really it. We've got to
go find marriage, Rick. Go
as a show.
Go find
it was a ladder, and I used the Mormon Bachelor to come on the show.
That's
Thank
what
you.
I'm talking about. You need to tell every one of your dates that.
All right.
Anyway, Rick, do you have anything else to share with anybody?
Hey, you guys are doing great. I think this is great. I think people, you need to listen to these guys. They're somewhat inspired.
I am never going to claim that we're inspired at all.
Careful word placement, somewhat.
Yeah, I was worried where you were going with that for a second there. Anyway, Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you all sang Ring Out Wild
Happy
Bells
New-
in sacrament meeting today like I did.
Nope. Nope.
Oh, you're still celebrating Christmas, aren't you?
It's Christmas every Sunday in the Placentia Fourth Ward. It never ends.
That's true.
Every Sunday, we live it up. Oh, a side note. I love the bishop comes to me today. So we need to think for ward conference 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm moving. Yeah, but we need a song from the choir. That's terrific. Tomorrow's next week's my last week. Okay, well, can you think of something? No, I'm like, what? He even texted me during the show to ask me what we were singing.
Monster.
I have no idea. I'm mentally checked out at this point. Anyway, everybody, you know where to find us. Facebook. This Week in Mormons. Please find us. Like us.
No, that way we don't can share like things us. With you. Love us.
Love us. There's no love button, so we'll settle for like. And Twitter, of course, @TheRealTwim. Appreciate all of those of you who subscribe to our tweets, which are not frequent, but are there.
We'll do better. We have
for
New Year's
your enjoyment.
Resolutions.
Sure. And of course, thisweekinmormons.com, where you can stream and find this beautiful show. And all sorts of things. And we are working on a site read.
It's
going to
be exciting.
So stay tuned for that. It'll be a little bit, but it's going to be really good. We're excited for it. So with that, Ricardo.
Thank you.
Gracias por venir aquí y estar con este programa.
De nada.
Mucho gusto.
De nada.
Watch El Mormon Bachelor.
And Alan.
Tak.
And Alan.
Budlaska.
Duže dziękuję. Duže
dziękuję.
Budlaska. So everyone, we like it that you come here to Mormon Bachelor, and this week in Mormons, it is good to have you here.
You're being offensive.
And we
now.
Will see you later, eh? I do not
All
care.
Right, see you, everybody.
Goodbye, Rick.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Al. And Godspeed, everyone. This has been another scintillating doesn't really work because we're not sparking or emitting light. This has been another edition of This Week in Mormons, Mo Batch Edition.